This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. Game day, Thursday night football, Richmond and Carlton at the MCG on a cold old Thursday night, but there's a lot riding on it, and it's a hugely important game, so I'll get to that later in the podcast. But off the top this morning, a quirky one, Collingwood superstar Jordan Dugowie has gone to Bali for his mid-season break, which does present as being a bit odd, but I've checked all this out late this morning. From Collingwood's perspective, there's no issue. Players don't need permission to go somewhere for their mid-season break. It's entirely up to the player, and Collingwood have effectively had 7 or 8 days at their discretion. They obviously played on Queen's birthday. The player's not due back at the club until Monday. So, look, it is a 7 or 8 hour flight to Bali, there and back, 16 hours. But Geordie can go for the best part of 6 or 7 days, as long as, of course, he's back in one piece and ready to train on Monday morning. Just from a training perspective, I understand, speaking to some guys at 7, that there's some vision of him apparently training with a local team in Bali. So he's keeping himself fit. So there's no issue from Collingwood's perspective about Jordan going to Bali. In fact, I've been in touch with his manager in the last few minutes, Ryan Vague, who did tell me that Jordan informed the club of his trip. There's certainly no issue from the club approved with Collingwood. I guess there'll be discussion about the optics of it, given that Geordie had issues, well-publicised ones, hugely publicised ones, in New York earlier in the year. And he's obviously after a deal at Collingwood, or might get long-term offers. I emphasise long-term because I think Collingwood will offer him more of a medium-term deal, but he might get long-term offers from other clubs. Is it a good idea? Well, that's debatable in that regard from a contract perspective. But certainly, I think from Collingwood's perspective, it's all been ticked off, and they hope that he'll be back on Monday morning, trouble-free, ready to go, and refreshed for what's hopefully, for the Pies' sake, an exciting second half of the season.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
North Melbourne, and I'll get to why they're in the news regarding Tasmania shortly, but just from a coaching perspective, held a board meeting, a scheduled one last night. I've reported that post that meeting, David Noble and the football manager were due to have dinner with the board, which was going to occur. And it was interesting yesterday, Sonia Hood, who's the president of North Melbourne, really gave her first widely publicised TV interview. She was asked about Jason Horne-Francis and said, look, the only opinions that she's worried about in regards to Jason Horne-Francis are Horne-Francis's, his parents, and indeed the club. She's not buying into all this external discussion surrounding his contract and his body language and the implications of all that. But she was obviously asked about David Noble, the coach now, who's under a reasonably significant degree of pressure. Now, Hood backed Noble, but this was interesting in terms of her response, I thought, in regards to whether this is a medium or long-term backing or backing for the moment. This was Sonia's response.
To be absolutely clear, I'm focused on right now, and David is our coach right now, and he's sorting out our problems right now. So we'll have a board meeting tonight, we'll have dinner with him and head of footy afterwards, not here, but somewhere else, and we'll talk about all that stuff.
I know the AFL's concerned about North's progress at the moment, but that was Sonia Hood speaking yesterday in regards to, obviously, their status with David Noble at the moment and Jason Horne-Francis. She spoke well, and for the moment, for the right now, David Noble has been backed as their coach. Make of that what you will in terms of that language, but they were quite clear about that yesterday, North Melbourne, putting the president, Sonia Hood, up to the TV, effectively to the TV, to speak for the first time in that forum.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest on Tasmania, there was fairly heated discussion regarding Tasmania amongst the club presidents on Tuesday. Several clubs openly sceptical about the viability of a Tasmanian team and whether there's enough talent to fill that team, obviously from a financial perspective and a talent perspective. The CEOs met yesterday with the AFL, with Gil McLachlan in at Crown. And I think, broadly speaking, the CEOs were more supportive or optimistic, I hear, than the presidents. It wasn't quite as fiery amongst the CEOs. But look, let's face it, most of the CEOs take their directives from the president and the board. So I wouldn't read too much into that. In terms of just some insight, Gil McLachlan, actually, I hear, spoke at a Carlton function last night in at Crown. And Gil did a straw poll of the crowd. And not didn't rev them up, but got a straw poll of the crowd going. And I think basically they were all supportive of Tasmania getting its own side. And I think Gil is certainly pushing in that direction. He sort of, I guess, hinted that that's certainly what they're working on as far as the AFL is concerned. Look, it's pretty clear that, to have any chance of getting a dedicated team, Tasmania need to come up with a stadium and quickly. I've reported there's a joint task force between the AFL and the government, the state government, working on that at the moment. But they need to come up with a stadium idea pretty quickly, a fully funded one. In terms of what can unlock this deal, Tasmania's not actually that far off. They need a stadium. They'd need an extra $5 or $10 million a year committed by the state government, currently offering $10 million per year for 10 years and $50 million up front. And they'd also need a longer guarantee. A lot of the clubs are worried, well, you know, this will take ages for them to bet in terms of a team, and they don't want to lose truckloads of money. So the government would have to offer that guarantee for longer than the current 10 years. So stadium, more money, longer guarantee. That'd probably get Tasmania across the line in terms of a dedicated team, notwithstanding concerns regarding enough talent. I think Carlton now, just reading between the lines, seem cautiously supportive of the offer in place for Tasmania. They're a potential supporter. We know that clubs including, Sydney and it's been reported Collingwood and others are more, I wouldn't say sceptical, but need to see a much stronger business case before they offer any type of approval. Eddie Maguire last night on Footy Classified throwed up North Melbourne as doing a JV or a partnership, playing 11 or 12 games in Tasmania and 11 or so games in Melbourne, giving up one Melbourne game. Look, that's not a bad idea financially, but from a emotional sense, it won't work. Tasmania have been very clear. They want a dedicated Tasmanian side, and I don't think they'd build a stadium, a dedicated stadium Tasmania, under an inherited team sort of scenario. So whilst Eddie's idea makes absolutely crystal clear financial sense to me, startups incur a huge amount of money, and it could actually improve the viability and success of a team long term if you did a JV or a partnership. We know Uber, Netflix, Paramount Plus, all these streaming startups, all the famous startups in history, they lose truckloads of money initially, and you try and get yourself to viability. If you took on an existing team and sort of married up that way, it does make sense financially. Having said that, there's some pretty big headwinds on that front, notwithstanding the fact that I know the AFL is concerned about North at the moment, but it's just not going to be accepted clearly by Tasmania, that option. It's not really being discussed at a formal level, and I don't think Tasmania would build, I know they wouldn't build a stadium under that scenario, which would be the prerequisite anyway. So I think that's, that idea, whilst it makes economic sense, is going to struggle, certainly from a getting Tasmania's approval perspective. Having said that, there is resistance to Tasmania clearly still. The AFL want an overwhelming majority of clubs to support the idea. They don't want to do it in the face of resistance. And in the absence of certainly a stadium, maybe the North JV or partnership makes the most sense. So that's why it's a sensible discussion in that regard. But that's the latest concerning Tasmania.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
And I'll whip through some to finish off with today. I'll try and do it as briefly as possible. Darcy Parrish out for the Bombers tomorrow night. That's a big out for Essendon. He copped that, I think, knock on the calf or calf corky or slightly strained calf last week. So that'll be obviously the reason for that. We'll learn more on that during the day. A big win for the coaches, in particular Bevo, Damien Hardwick and John Longmire yesterday. I reported the soft cap has been increased by $500,000. That's the amount the clubs can spend on the football department. Clubs can do that at their discretion. If they want to go and get a phys ed guru, if they want to go and get extra assistance or extra support staff in the football department, or go and give it to the senior coach, some of the senior coaches might want to get some of their money back. That's up to clubs. They sort of won that argument in that regard. There's a separate amount, $670,000, for effectively a health fund, that clubs can apportion to things like physios, dietitians, club doctors, and psychologists. And the AFL's made it very, very clear to me that any specialised help required, for example, if Bailey Smith needs specialised help from an expensive psychologist or psychiatrist in regards to his illicit drugs issues, those types of cases, the AFL will absolutely approve to be outside the cap. There'll be no care that's required that will not be afforded because of the soft cap. And the AFL's been very clear to me on that position. That negates or at least deals with some of Luke Beveridge's concerns in that regard. Melbourne, I revealed on the news last night, have been cleared of their investigation in regards to Jake Meltram and Stephen May. The AFL Integrity Department investigated, conducted several interviews, and also obtained the CCTV footage available from the restaurant Entrecote. And they were satisfied the AFL of Melbourne's investigation ticking off on that. So Melksham received the community service. May received a week due to the concussion protocols, drinking, and the community service. And I think Caroline Wilson reported on Footy Classified overnight the guts of it was that May was pretty aggressive, I guess, verbally towards his teammates. And there is one report that he had to be held back. I think Melksham did his best on repeated occasions to try and, in fact, avoid the fight. So that's some of the background in regards to that. Bailey Smith will learn this afternoon by mid-afternoon on his sanction for admitting illicit drug use during his off-season period when he took some personal leave from the club. Look, I expect it'll be 2 weeks and $25,000. I know his management was sort of subtly pushing in the background for reduction, given the fact that he admitted it straight away, but I don't think that'll work in this instance. It was interesting. I met with the Players Association yesterday. They're strongly pushing now for a review of the illicit drugs policy, which is taking place. The timing on that is by the end of the year. An independent body, now we don't know which independent body yet, but an independent body, the Players Association revealed to us in our briefing yesterday, is in fact assisting with that review. The Players Association don't think there should be big punitive, which is punishment, sanctions in the policy. It's a medical model that they think in the background is working and helping out a lot of players that have issues with illicit drugs, and they're not really in favour of broader disclosure, for example, in regards to the numbers, which used to take place, or indeed beyond the club doctor. On the second strike, more people at the club get informed, but they still think the club doctor should be the first port of call, and they believe in confidentiality. That'll sort of play out in the second half of this year, discussion regarding the illicit drugs policy. Just a couple of brief ones to finish off with. Josh Frydenberg's name mentioned as a potential suitor and successor for Gil McLachlan earlier in the week. I do think at some level Josh has been sounded out. He's obviously super high caliber. He was the treasurer. He's got good relationships with a lot of club presidents and CEOs. Certainly knows quite a bit about football and has got very close relationships with the broadcasters, with Facebook, with a whole bunch of things that he got through government. Is it going to happen? Look, maybe not. I think he'll have other options. And I think eventually, I imagine, and I haven't checked this, I imagine he'd want to go back into politics and have a crack at becoming prime minister. But it was a good name to throw up because he's a pretty heavy hitter, a very heavy hitter, and a good left field option. Richard Goyder, the commission chairman, I sort of quizzed at the Hall of Fame, but he's very, very careful not to reveal the status of his investigations into locating the next CEO. He's very disciplined in that regard. I know that he's met with several club CEOs recently. I think he met with Dave Matthews in the last few weeks, and he's met with, I think, Simon Lethlin. He's certainly canvassing the views of clubs. He's invited the clubs to canvass their views in regards to who would be a suitable CEO. So they're casting the net quite wide. But I do think that Andrew Dillon, the AFL's general counsel, I think he now wants that job. And I think he's certainly the leading internal candidate for that job. I've mentioned as well that Tom Harley and Brendan Gale's names are mentioned prominently, the CEO of the Swans, and of course the hugely successful CEO of the Richmond Football Club. Well, Thursday night football, there's been debate about that. The Players Association raised that yesterday. They think they're certainly not to blame, if you like, for Thursday nights and 5 day breaks. You know, they would allow under the next broadcast agreement more Thursday nights and think that you could schedule more Thursday nights, even allowing for clubs to have not more than 1 5-day break. And in some instances, the Players Association will approve a second 5-day break. So they were quite keen to point out it's not their issue in that regards to that. There's been some discussion regarding the crowds on Thursday nights. It's going to be another test night. It was modest last week, about 21,000 for the Tigers. It's raining again today, but clearly it's a great broadcast product. And one of the reasons the AFL put on these Thursday night games and Friday night games between the big clubs is that what it does is it creates momentum and excitement from a broadcast numbers perspective and from a scheduling fixture perspective going into the weekend. There's been some discussion this week again about these buys. Some people think the buys sat momentum out of the season. The Players Association would actually like to have 2 buys. Now, at the moment, there's 1, of course. I think 2 would sat momentum out of the season, but clearly the players, including Jordan Tagoe, want a break, and that's what's happening at the moment. So it does, I guess, affect the scheduling. We've had some weak Sunday games last week and again this week. That's just part and parcel of all that. Thursday night football, so much riding on it tonight. I know Carlton's got an 81 and 82 informal reunion ahead of a more formal reunion they'll host for those 2 years in August. But on field, it's going to be an absolute belter. Don't miss tomorrow's podcast again. We'll have all the latest news and probably the latest on Jordan Dugowie's trip and also the latest on Bailey Smith. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.